What's up, Biscuit Babies? Thanks for tuning in. Especially to celebrate our 50th episode, I got a very special guest, Mike Grinnell from the Barstool Spit and Chicklets. He's the producer of that show. And we're going to cover the World Junior Championships, preview the rosters and some picks, and should be a good time. But first, I got to tell you about Lucid Float Spas out of Mount Vernon, Ohio. Get your shitty body there and make it feel better. Get a massage by Chad. Go for a float in his state-of-the-art float tanks. You hear all about it on Joe Rogan's podcast. You have one in Central Ohio. Why aren't you going? God damn it. Enjoy.
Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the Biscuit. It's the Biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some Batman's fucking cans.
Hi, everybody. It's the Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, Biscuit Babies, I'm sitting here with Mike Grinnell. You know him as Grinnelli from Barstool Sports Spit and Chicklets. He's a producer and occasional voice of that show. How you doing, Grinnelli?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. When I was sitting down to do the World Junior previews, I was thinking, you know, who's somebody that I could get that could cover some of these college boys and younger guys? And you were the first name that came to mind, man, so I thank you for coming on.
No, thank you. I appreciate that, and happy to help out.
And you know, the majority of these guys play at fucking Boston University, so you should know quite a bit about these guys.
I know it's not like last year's team where the whole team was basically the entire BU team, but I mean it's pretty close. And I mean, from BU to BC to all the good schools up here, it's we're so lucky to have such good college hockey in Boston.
And now, college hockey has to be pretty popular up there just because of the region. You guys, like you said, it's just a powerhouse up there.
Yeah, it is pretty popular. It's a little different though. It's, you know, the rinks are smaller. It's different because there's so many schools. I mean, just in Boston alone, you have Harvard, Northeastern, BC, and BU, and that's just D1 teams. And then, you know, you go a little north, and then you get UMass Lowell, and you go a little south, you get Providence, and you have UNH and UMaine, and I mean, New England is, and then you have UMass Amherst as you go out west. It's
right.
It's New England is just loaded with college hockey teams, and it's enjoyable because you can essentially, you know, spend the entire weekend watching college hockey and never watch the same team play twice.
Right. And it's getting now I grew up watching a lot of Buckeyes games because a lot of a dude's dads would get season tickets, and you could go relatively cheap. And, you know, it's not like going to an NHL game. You can actually have some money in your pocket left over, too. And the hockey is pretty goddamn good. But I think eventually here they're just going to be sending.
Yeah, I mean, from Penn State, I mean, the whole Big Ten is awesome.
Yeah, the Big Ten is killing it.
I mean, I think it's been great. Still there?
Yeah, I'm having a little problem here.
All right. Just to recap on kind of what you said there. I mean, I think the Big Ten has been awesome for college hockey. You know, I get a lot of crap on Twitter and Facebook from people that, you know, will say, "Oh, the Big Ten ruined college hockey," but just give it time. Granted, it broke up, you know, one of the best divisions in all of college hockey, but I mean, give it some time. Give it time, and there'll be nothing. I have Ohio State at number 7. I have Penn State at number 9, and then I have Notre Dame at number 2. So, I mean, the Big Ten is thriving right now.
Fucking A, man, and I'm a huge Notre Dame fan.
Let's go, number 2, baby.
Dude, just killing it. That streak is, I mean, I thought they'd be good. I thought they'd be a little less than last year, and they're just killing it.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't lost since before Halloween.
That's insane.
I know. When you think about that, I mean, because we both know hockey. Hockey is – it's different than every other sport where anyone can win really on any given night. I mean, we saw Dartmouth – a 2-8 Dartmouth went into Denver, who I think is the best team in the country.
Right.
Won, and they won 5-4. So, I mean, you can win – anyone can win on any given night. So the fact that, Notre Dame has been able to do this for, you know, almost 3 months now, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's been – all of November, all of December, and now they're heading into January undefeated.
And those games they had against Denver, I mean, those were neck to neck. I think even a couple of them went, you know, bonus hockey. So, I mean, they're legit number two. And I wanted to, you know, give you props for having them break in the top 10 before really any other of these college covering guys. I know most of my listeners probably follow Buchagross and get most of their college hockey information from him, which is great. But he was even hesitant to have Notre Dame crack in there for whatever reason, whether it be Big Ten or just the fear of putting them in there. But now you have to give them their due because they're just killing it.
Yeah, and I've tried to – since I started doing this top 10, I've tried to – you know, I read – every week I read, you know, the USCHO blogs, and I read everything Bucci tweets out. And so, you know, I'm kind of following where their head's at as well. But I try to differ a little bit from their rankings. You know, that's why I'm doing this. You know, I don't want to just be another. You know, I could just take the USCHO's rankings every week and
right.
kind of just write a bio.
Right.
I mean, a description of why they chose those teams. But you know, I want to do it differently, and I wanted to pick my own teams. I wanted to try and watch as much college hockey as I possibly could to get a grasp on the teams themselves. And I think something we see a lot in college football is the records, you know, and well, we saw it with the college football playoff with Alabama, how Alabama got in over Ohio State.
Right.
And I thought that was the right call. And because Alabama is the better football team at the end of the day. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do here with my rankings. I want the best teams with, it doesn't necessarily matter about the records. I just want to put the best teams ranked in order 1 through 10.
And if you guys don't know, Grinnelli is doing the Barstool Sports college hockey top 10 every week. I follow it on Twitter, and not to nut hug you too much, but what I liked about it is it's always that, you know, you kind of anticipate that next best team and almost a step ahead, you know, if not two steps ahead of those other, you know, those brackets will call them once they finally get that sweep of Minnesota over the weekend or something like that. But you're watching the games and kind of picking these teams and letting everybody know, hey, these guys are for real. That's why they're at number 8, not sitting at number 11 until they get that win.
Exactly. And I look at a team like Ohio State, the team you talked about. Like, Ohio State is a team not many people have too high in their rankings, but I love Ohio State. I mean, I love watching them. I love the game they play. They play a hard, very fast game. And, you know, I think – It's tough, obviously, you know, to watch every college hockey game.
Right.
But and this is why I've struggled with putting Minnesota State in my top 10. And I usually mention it every week that I don't really get to see them play. I don't even get to watch the highlights of them play. So with Ohio State, I mean, with some of these teams, it's like you said, and I appreciate that. I'm just trying to be a little ahead of the curve and watch the actual hockey that's being played, rather than, you know, the big picture kind of it all.
And lucky for us now here in Ohio, where I live, that the Big Ten Network, you know, is actually starting to play hockey games on the weekend instead of playing replays of, like, Eddie George's top 30 rushes. They're actually playing, you know, fucking hockey games, live events. So it's helping grow the sport a lot here. And then just having, you know, dudes like Healy last year and sweeping Minnesota a couple weekends ago, it's going to get people into the game, and it's better for the sport. But we could sit and probably talk college hockey all day. I know we have you for a bit, so we got to get into this tournament. And I know I'm going to have you back on the show too come tournament time, so we can get your pick your brain a little bit for that as well.
Yeah, great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited for this upcoming World Juniors, man. It's going to be a real fun one, especially with the outdoor game, USA Canada at you know, where the Sabres, I mean, where the Bills play New Era Field. I mean, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, how fucking sick is that? That's a brilliant marketing idea. I know a lot of people dog on the outdoor game. I'm a fan of them. I think they look cool, and mostly it's just, you know, fucking Twitter haters going on and going, that sucks, but, you know, it'll sell out.
And you know what, man, that's where I, and I'm not sure about you, but I'm sure a lot of these kids that are playing in the game, that's where they fell in love with the game, outside. That's where you fall in love with the game of hockey, is playing outdoors with your buddies. And, you 100%. Know, these teams, these World Junior teams, granted, they're kids, college kids from all over the country, but a lot of these kids have been playing together their whole lives, whether it's the, you know, national development program, whether it's out in the NA, the USHL, you know, a lot of these guys have played together for a long time. So when they play for each other, and I think that's something that's, you know, really awesome. And especially with what's going on with the Olympics this year.
Oh, God.
You know, this is almost, you know, the highest. I mean, you can make the argument that this is going to be, you know, some of the best international hockey played this year.
Oh, that's what I was saying last week on the show with my buddy up there in Saskatoon. I was saying, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is the Olympics. I mean, I don't really know too many people that are that jazzed over the upcoming Olympics. So like you had just mentioned, this is going to be the best international hockey I think that anybody's going to see. And especially, you know, there's no Russia in the Olympics, so that's, you know, that's a group of kids that you're not going to see there. They're not banned from the World Juniors, are they?
No, they're not. And you know, Jordy, Barstool Jordy wrote a great article on Barstool Sports today, basically, you know, just talking about how Russia's playing for their life in this tournament. I mean, Russia, you know, their biggest, you know, they take so much pride in the Russian hockey team,
right?
You know, dating all the way back to, you know, the Soviet Union teams, like Russia, all their biggest, you know, pastime is hockey. So, I mean, they're going to be coming out guns blazing. You know, I'm looking forward to watching them. I still don't think they have the best team in the tournament. I still think USA and Canada do.
Yeah.
But, and then you have Sweden as well, man. I mean, you have Rasmus Dahlin in Sweden coming right. in, you know, I wrote an article for BarstoolSports.com about Rasmus Dahlin, and, you know, how scouts are saying that this kid is the, right now, he is the best rated defensive skating prospect ever.
Ever. In the history of them rating prospects.
Just the words ever just kind of like send chills through your brain, like through you, because like, ever. Like, this kid, we're witnessing something great. And, you know, Jordy had a great line in his article today, basically saying, you know, this isn't verbatim, but it was something along the lines of, if this kid was born and raised in any other country besides Sweden, he would be a center. He would be the number one overall prospect as a center.
Yeah.
And the fact that he grew up in Sweden, you know, growing up watching guys like Nick Lindstrom and Erik Karlsson and guys like that, he has a defenseman. And as Jordy said, I mean, everyone should be shitting their pants, because this kid is, I mean, whoever gets this kid come the NHL draft is very, very lucky.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I wasn't really aware of him. I haven't really dove into the prospects too much this year until actually the Barstool or the Spitting Chicklets a couple weeks ago when Ryan Whitney had mentioned him. But when you're getting compared to Nick Lindstrom, I mean, you got to watch out for this kid.
Yeah, it's almost like scary, and it's almost not fair to do to him.
Right.
Nick Lindstrom is arguably, you know, one of the best defensemen to ever play the game, and, you know, the best international defenseman to ever play the game. So, you know, the kid definitely coming into the league has a lot of a lot on his shoulders, but I know we'll get a good test this weekend. We'll get to see, you know, from Rasmus Dahlin. We'll also see Alex Nylander,
yes,
who is likely to be loaned by Rochester to play for his, you know, the team that drafted in front of the, you know, city that drafted him in Buffalo. So, you know, I think that Sweden team is going to be pretty good.
They're my dark horse coming into it.
Be better than the U.S. team.
Yeah, Sweden's definitely my dark horse coming into it. It wouldn't surprise me if they were in that, you know, gold medal game. But like you had said, Canada and the United States are pretty stellar, and the guys that have come back for the United States are scary. And you know, I don't think anybody's gone back to back in the tournament in at least a decade. So that'd be really cool for the United States to get in.
It definitely would be cool, and it's just, it's weird with Canada this year because, you know, every year it's, you know, they have, you know, a group of stud forwards coming in. You know, like last year it was Barzal, Strome, and Pierre-Luc Dubois. You know, Mitch Marner, Konechny, and Lawson Kraus in 2016, and then you had Connor McDavid and Sam Reinhart and Max Domi and Anthony Duclair in 2015. Yeah. So, I mean, they've had all these stud forwards that they don't necessarily have this year, but yeah. I mean, their defense is loaded. I mean, I'm big on Cale Makar from UMass. He was Colorado's first pick in the 2017 draft. They also have Dante Fabbro, who, you know, Nashville's 2016 first round pick. We don't know if we'll see him. We don't know if he'll be fully healthy to go. But then you also have Cal Foot.
Oh, Tampa man, Bay's, I love Cal Foot.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this without a doubt, Canada has the best defense in the tournament. I mean, and they have Carter Hart.
I was just going to say that guy sitting in the
dubbed as the best Canadian goalie prospect since Carey Price. So, I mean, right now, again, it keeps going back to Team USA where, you know, Casey Middleton, you got all the returners. And Ryan Lindgren, Jake Ottinger, and team captain Joey Anderson.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, man, that guy sitting in between the pipes back there, Carter Hart, if you're a Philadelphia Flyers fan, you got to be getting pretty excited about that young man.
You know, it's about time. I want to say I feel bad for Philly fans, but I don't because they're Philly fans. but it's like they have just had no luck from the goaltending position. It's like you feel bad because they've almost wasted, not yet, but like they're getting to the end of Claude Giroux's prime and Wayne Simmons kind of really just coming into his own. But
yeah,
I mean, you're getting to the end of some of these guys' prime, and you know, all they needed was a goalie, and now they're finally getting this goalie. So, you know, hopefully they can build around, you know, him and going forward.
Well, hell yeah, man! So we got the 42nd World Junior Championships coming up. You had mentioned in Buffalo. I wanted to cover the United States roster here with you, so I'm just going to bounce some names off and get your take on these boys.
Absolutely.
Now, first on my list, and I'm a big goalie fan, and this guy is a fucking monster. I love Jake Ottinger. You know, I'm a big fan of the big goalie, so sitting in at 6'4 and 193, plays at BU. Had a hell of a first year with that 21-11-3. I thought he had a good tournament, too, that was that the North Dakota game, the first round? That game was one of the more insane games I've ever seen with my eyes.
Yeah, so I'm a huge, huge Ottinger guy. I don't know if you've seen his pads yet, his whole setup for the World Juniors, but oh my God, they're unbelievable. The second I saw them, I bet the mortgage on them to win it all. it's gorgeous. But yeah, I mean, Ottinger, you know, the big tendies, they're you got to love them. You know, I talked to one of the guys on BU who obviously they're struggling this year. They're not having the year that they expected. And I said, you know, is Jake the problem? Is it Ottinger? And he laughed at me, essentially. He laughed in my face and was like, absolutely not. That kid is the reason that we haven't gotten blown out every single game. He's like, that kid is so good, it's scary. So, and when you hear a kid like this say that, it really sits with you, you know. It didn't really sound like he was defending his teammate. It just sounded more as though he was being genuine about it. So, yeah, I'm real big on Ottinger.
And he was at the tournament last year, but I don't think he dressed at all because Tyler Parsons went into fucking beast mode last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's good that he's been to the tournament and seen it, and, you know, now it's his time to shine. And like you said, dude, his fucking mask for this tournament is maybe the most beautiful mask ever painted.
Oh, his mask, his pads, his glove, his blocker, it's literally gorgeous.
Hell yeah. Just recently named Captain Joey Anderson from Minnesota Duluth. He had a good year last year in the championships, a couple apples. 37 points as a freshman there in Minnesota. He's got 9 points through 13 games this year. What do you think of old Joey?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good. It sounds like he's, you know, the real leader in that locker room. You know, third round pick of the New Jersey Devils. Like you said, he's playing at Minnesota Duluth. You know, the kid can play, and I think the biggest one of the biggest things about these tournaments is leadership. You know, you have a bunch of 18 and 19 year old kids that, you know, are, that some don't know each other. Some have been playing together their whole life, but they're about to put on a, some of them are about to put on a USA hockey jersey for the first time in their entire lives. And, you know, I think, a good leader is really what, you know, is going to help propel you over the top in this tournament. And I definitely think Joey Anderson can be that.
I agree. I agree. And even if he's not a big numbers guy, that leadership is something that doesn't come in as a stat. And
you kind of saw that last year with Luke Kunin.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the head coach, his name is passing me right now, but I'm a fan of his, and I think he's going to, you know, put the best team out there. And having him as captain, he definitely deserves it, and is probably ready to fucking go, man.
Yeah, he's probably itching and bitching to get out there, man. It's you know, you're playing for Team USA, and in USA, they're gonna play the outdoor game against Buffalo. It's, I mean, they must be stoked. It's gonna be fun.
Now, the one spot that does worry me for the United States is they're not super deep on defense, but there's a couple guys that I'm really high on, and obviously being an Irish fan and a Blue Jackets fan, Andrew Peak is basically on my wall for fucking porno material. I love that guy. And Ryan Lindgren, I think, well, he's in Minnesota, and he's part of the Bruins organization. Got 100 career penalty minutes in the NCAA. That's hard to do, so you got to have that kind of guy on this team as well. Even though you're not allowed to get away with it, you got to put a little bit of fear in the guys.
Yeah, I'm big on Ryan Lindgren, man. I mean, this is a kid that, you know, the Bruins kind of got a lot of trash for drafting him. I've loved him from day one. He's one of those kids that, you know, can play both ways. He's a great, great defenseman. Six feet tall, 200 pounds.
Well, he's a perfect fit in Boston, isn't he?
Fit in Boston, exactly. He's a perfect fit in Boston, plays a physical style game, can, you know, he's basically developed through the, you know, developmental program and with Team USA, and you know the kid's a stud. The kid's, you know, you hear a lot about him that he's a leader on and off the ice. So,
and he'll have that experience from last season too. So 7 games played last year.
Exactly. So yeah, he's coming back from last year, and I think that's big because again, the bright lights. You know, some of these kids haven't played in front of, you know, crowds this big. I mean, New Era Field. None of these kids have played in front of a crowd that big. What they're going to see at New Era Field? So.
Right. Some of them might not ever again. You know.
Exactly. Yeah, and they might not ever again. So, I mean, this is these kids better come ready to play in it, and I think they will.
Now, do you think that'll be the top pair? Will be Lindgren and Peak?
You know, it's really tough. It's really tough to kind of, you know, look at lines right now. I think we'll get a good test tomorrow. I'm also really big on Adam Fox.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I really like Adam Fox. I love his game. I think he'll have a big impact. You know, he's a Calgary Flames draft pick. But I think he'll have a major impact. He reminds me a lot of Will Butcher, but I agree with you. I don't think the USA's defense is as deep as it has been. But again, I'm really this team is steady all the way through.
Yeah,
through, you know, from defense to forwards to goalies. I mean, they don't really have many major flaws.
And Peak's one of those boys where he has good numbers, right? I mean, just fine numbers for a defenseman. But there isn't a lot of pucks that he's afraid to step in front of and block those mothers. And I think that's underrated as a defenseman, because when it comes down to it, I mean, if you're stopping it before the goalie, I mean, that's going to frustrate a team. And if you're willing to just use your body as a fucking weapon, it's going to frustrate a lot of teams. And I think that's one thing he does well.
Is that he's a Parkland, Florida guy. He's from Florida.
No shit.
Yeah, and you have two defensemen actually on the U.S. roster this year that are from Florida. It's pretty crazy. It's great to see too. It's good to see that the game is you know, you're not just getting the Massachusetts and Minnesota and
right,
you know, Michigan kids. It's people coming from all over.
We got three boys from Boston I want to talk to you about. One of my favorite guys from last year's tournament coming back, Kiefer Bellows, the fucking stud. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Having a little technical difficulties. Better at drinking beer than I am hooking up internet and shit. But there's a few guys from Boston I wanted to mention too. One of my favorite returning guys, thought he killed it last year, was Kiefer Bellows. Absolute fucking stud. He's playing in the W now, I think. Playing out in the dub. And then Patrick Harper. And then the new baby face to the tournament, Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm high on all these guys. You know, Patrick Harper is a guy that, you know, from day one I've been really high on. I know the kid. I know the guy that trains Pat, and he has a lot of praise for Patrick, saying that, you know, he's one of the hardest workers that he's ever worked with. He's a you know, one of those kids that is just so obsessed. Well, 5'8 kids, it's great to see that. Brady Tkachuk. Yeah, Brady Tkachuk's another one. Brady Tkachuk's awesome to see. You know, especially I grew up watching Keith Tkachuk. He's one of my favorite players,
yeah,
you know,
being
a Massachusetts guy. So, you know, Brady Tkachuk, I'm a huge fan of his brother. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And then Kiefer Bellows, such a beauty. I'm excited to see what he can do this year. Unbelievable shot. Don't let him get the puck in the shot in the slot, because if he does, you're probably going to regret it. But yeah, I mean, those are three of arguably the best forwards on the team. You know, when you look at it, Patrick Harper, Brady Tkachuk, and Kiefer Bellows, and all, you know, with BU ties. So it's good to see.
Now, Bellows ended up leaving BU and going out to the Portland Winterhawks this season, right?
Yes.
Where he's having a hell of a year out there, and that might help him too come this tournament time, playing with some of them Canadian boys. And with Brady, he's one of the more bright spots on that Boston team this year. You know, I think he's going above what people thought he would do. And he's got that pedigree too, like you had mentioned. His dad and then his brother is just a fucking pain in a thorn in everybody's side in the NHL. And a big boy, fucking 6'3", 109. I mean, he's a big boy. You know, he could still put on 20 more pounds and be just a monster.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like he's 6'3". I mean, this kid, 6'3", 190. I mean, he's only going to get – he's 19 years old. He's only going to get bigger, you know?
And he's draft eligible, so he's going to be trying to, you know, raise his crop up to maybe get that higher pick and get a little bit more money too. So he'll be something to watch out for.
Absolutely.
One of my other high spots on the forward is an absolute monster, 6'6", Logan Brown. Just won the Memorial Cup last year with the Spitfires. Maybe the only hope Ottawa has of even, you know, competing anymore, especially if they get rid of Carlson. And he's, 178 career points in the OHL is nothing to, you know, turn your head at. And he's a beast. And I'm looking forward to see him get out there again.
Yeah, it's always good to see these big guys out there, and you know, we saw it with Greenway last year, and
yes.
You know, he did great in the tournament. So
yes. Now I'm kind of a size slut a little bit. I like them big guys for whatever reason. I don't know if it says more about me.
Well, see, I'm the same way because I'm a small guy, so I've always, you know, root for the, you know, Patrick Harper's, the 5'8s, the guys like that, the Hugh McLean's, the 5'8 guys. That's who I root for. But yeah, it's great to see Logan Brown. I mean, I think, you know, for 11th overall pick in 2016 by Ottawa. Yeah, he's I'm guessing Ottawa is definitely relying heavily on the development of Logan Brown. But yeah, he's gonna be big for this tournament. They need someone big out there that can really throw the body around. So good, look for Logan Brown to have a big tourney.
Yeah, and the other big guy, you know, that is up there where you're, you know, a difference in size, you know, Logan Brown and then Riley Tuft, if he makes that final roster spot, you know, 6'5", 227 pounds coming out of Minnesota Duluth. Making that Dallas back line, you know, if when Ottinger's up there and they got a boy like Riley Tuft, Dallas is looking good for the future. And he's got 9 points through 15 games as a freshman out there. So I'm looking forward to see him play. I haven't seen a lot of him.
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen much of him either, but, you know, everything I've heard, you know, and 6'5", you know, again, it's just good to get the big guys out there. Who I'm really, you know, excited to watch is Casey Mittelstadt.
Dude, I was going to say, man,
Mr. Hockey in Minnesota.
He's that guy, Hockey, yeah.
Minnesota, you know, he's killing it at the University of Minnesota right now. You know, eighth overall pick by Buffalo last year. He's going to be playing in front of his future home city. The kid has swag. The kid has skill. The kid has mitts. The kid can shoot. The kid really has it all to be an NHL superstar. So I am very, very high on Casey Mittelstadt, and I am he is the player I'll probably be keeping an eye out for most in this tournament.
Dude, I was going to say, I need you to sell me on him, because after his pull-up shit and then him doing the slap, which I thought it was funny, the slap down the Michigan State thing too, but then it's like, dude, there's nothing they can do to this guy. You know, it's college hockey. He could, you know, basically pull his dong out and nobody can, you know, retaliate in any kind of way. But
exactly.
I'm looking forward to really see him shine, because I've watched him play against Notre Dame and Ohio State, and he did fine. But from what I hear about him, I expect more out of him. So, but look at the summer preview. He fucking murdered it. I think he had, you know, led the all teams in points. I think he had 9 points in the 5 games they played or some crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good hockey player, but he's one of those kids that just needs to get going, you know, needs a fire under his ass.
Yeah, I think he's obviously he has the talent. If you're going, you know, number 8 overall and you're Mr. Hockey in Minnesota, he's got to either, I don't know what it is about him, maybe calm down a little bit and then do something and then get as cocky as he is, or I don't know what it is. Something irks me about him, but I am excited, and I'm glad he's in a USA jersey if we're going to be fucking playing, if he's the most talented dude in the tournament, you know?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say he's the most talented dude in the tournament, but I would say that he's one of the most interesting guys in the tournament, just from a talent standpoint, from a cockiness standpoint, and just from Buffalo's standpoint. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Buffalo has a lot invested in this.
You know, that's a good point.
Are some of the best fans in all of hockey, and they're going to be looking for their guy to, you know, put up some points.
You know, and they're wild out there for their hockey. So maybe them being there in Buffalo, you know, have put that win behind his sails. He might have a hell of a tournament, because it's basically home field advantage for him, you know, twice over.
Oh yeah, he's going to be trying to prove something to these fans that, hey, look, your team made the right decision, and I wanted to show you guys that
for sure.
The future is bright here in Buffalo. And Casey Mittelstadt's here to make it to prove that.
Now, you got to be rooting for this guy. Like you said, you like the smaller guys. He's been up to the show for a few games there in Edmonton. I think actually made the season opener with him is old Yamamoto from Spokane. And I think he's got 3 apples in the NHL, actually. And he can fucking skate his ass off, dude.
Yeah, he can definitely skate his ass off. And yeah, it was nice to see him get up there with Edmonton this year. You know, he's played a few games with them. I think he played 9 games total.
Okay.
And, yeah, like you said, he had 3 assists. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you're not going to – jumping right into the NHL at 5'8", it's not going to come easy to you. But that's going to benefit in this World Juniors now that, you know, yeah, when you're playing out there with Connor McDavid and, you know, guys like that, when you even just practicing with them every day, and then you come back and take a few steps back to the World Juniors, I mean, he could light it up. We don't know. I mean, he could come in and absolutely light it up, and we can attribute that to him, you know, getting his time with Edmonton.
And then the last dude I want to talk about on the USA roster before I get into a little top 10 list I have is Max Jones. Maybe the meanest looking motherfucker in the tournament. 195 PIMs in 2 years in the OHL. Of course, property of Anaheim, because why wouldn't they take a dude like that? He's going to be that, you know, he won't be able to play probably the way he wants to in this tournament, but just having him out there is a difference maker, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question with a lot of these bigger guys and the physical guys is, you know, how do they match up against the teams like Sweden and Finland and Russia, the fast teams that are going to attack you with speed.
Right.
So yeah, that's another interesting player that's going to very interesting to watch.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him come back and play. Just, you know, I always like the Ducks as far as out west and how they keep that physical play, and I hope he has a good tournament, just because it's, you know, with Greenway last year, he wasn't fucking letting anybody mess around with the United States last year. You had to be, and McAvoy too. You
Exactly.
They didn't get pushed around.
Those guys don't let anyone push their boys around.
That's right, man. So I had a list of from Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com, the 10 most impressive summer showcase dudes. Not in that wording, but I churched it up a little for him. And we had already mentioned Rasmus Dahlin from Sweden, who's going to be the number one pick, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got to be. And then we had already mentioned Carter Hart, too, which I'm excited to see him. And he had a good tournament last year. You know, there was nothing he could do. United States was winning that game if it took, you know, them having to cut their own legs off. They were winning that gold medal game. But they had the number one guy is Elias Andersson from Sweden, property of the Rangers. You know anything about him? I think with him and Dahlin, I mean, that really makes Sweden a scary team and Nylander.
You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yep. I'm sorry, I can hear you. Yeah, I mean, I think, they have a from Nylander to Pettersson to, Dahlin. I think that this team can be – Sweden is a team that, I mean, I definitely think they could give the U.S. a run for their money here.
I really do, too. And I think it's, especially here in the States, you always think, we're going to win the tournament just because that's, how it goes. That's the way we think. But then you only ever think about Canada when there's, Sweden really is right there, with that. I mean, Dahlin could break out and have the best hockey he's played in his life, and then that's it. Nobody's doing shit.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. That's why this team, this tournament's up for grabs this year. I kind of see it as, the U.S. as the best team, and, everyone else is there to take them down. I mean, they are the reigning champs, and
That's right.
If you want to be the best, you got to take down the best. But like we said, Canada's got the back end, they got the defense, they got the goalie. So who knows? It's only time will tell at this point.
For sure. And you had mentioned Adam Fox, big, one of those definitely going to be a top pairing defenseman. Another dude that we didn't mention who's draft eligible this year is Quinton Hughes. I guess he had a good summer showcase. He's kind of fallen off my radar a little bit. I'm not even really quite sure what the hell he's up to.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you're talking about Quinton Hughes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's plays at Michigan. Plays lucky for him, gets to play at the Yost, and I think. Third round pick of Calgary, and oh wait, so you're an Ohio State guy. I'm a Michigan fan, man.
Oh shit, I married a Michigan. My wife went to unfortunately to Michigan University. I still married her, so we can be friends.
Okay, all right. I didn't want you to kick me off the podcast immediately, but yeah, I mean, I'm a Michigan fan, so Quinn Hughes, again, 5'9", small guy, puck moving defenseman, again, from Orlando, Florida, so a Florida kid. So yeah, it would be awesome to see Quinn Hughes come in and light it up,
for
especially
sure.
Because, he's playing for his draft eligibility. And the fact that, he's from Florida, so it'll be good. It'll help grow the game.
These draft-eligible guys kind of have me – and this is – I only really started paying attention to the World Juniors last season. For whatever reason, I never really watched it, and I fell in love with it last season. And now I'm starting to think, really about some of these draft-eligible kids, and I'm really fucking excited to see these guys play. And, because it's going to be, the most eyes that they have on them. And, the NHL is going to be watching these fucking games. And so these guys are going to be coming hard. So I'm really excited to see old Quinton get out there and tussle it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brady Tkachuk, let's look at him. I mean, he's projected Brady. Top five overall pick, Team USA. And so he's going to really get his chance to showcase what he has for the entire world to see.
I just hope Brady doesn't go to fucking Arizona.
Oh, God, don't even – I pray he doesn't.
A Canadian boy, real, real fucking talented forward, a game changer, Jordan Kyrou. He came in at number 6 on the list. Number 7, a dude who I actually didn't know much of until I did a Maple Leafs preview with Farmer Rob the beginning of the season, is Timothy Liljegren. And, people in Toronto, you know, can hate you really easily. And a lot of guys were high on him after, you know, through development camp and training camp. So, you know, another Swede who's could be a part of a gold medal team for Sweden if he plays well.
Exactly. And again, it's just circling back to this Sweden team that, you know, they have a lot of guys that, you know, are kind of flying under the radar. You know, they don't have all the necessary big draft picks, but they do have the guys that could potentially be drafted high. And, you know, they just have a lot of names on there. So, you know, again, going back to Sweden, man, it's a team you got to watch out for.
Yeah, I think I might be, after doing this, I might be a Sweden fan after this.
Oh, you can stay all the way, man.
Well, yeah, fuck yeah. And then we had already mentioned your boy Casey and Brady, of course, two beasts. I'm excited to see these guys play together. But number 10 on the list, and, you know, we really haven't mentioned anybody from Finland, is a Juuso Välimäki, I guess. I'm guessing his name, property of the Flames, a defenseman. And as far as Finland goes, you know, what they won it 2 years ago, he's what the one bright spot on a team that I don't know too much about after him.
Yeah, I mean, with Finland, you know, from 2016 when they had Line A, Sebastian Aho.
Was it Puljujärvi on that team too?
Yeah.
They were fucking freaky good.
They were loaded. They were so loaded. It was in Finland, if I'm not mistaken, that year.
It sure was.
You know, they were so good that season. And then they fell off last year, and they had a really embarrassing tournament last season. So, you know, I think they're going to be grinding this year. You know, not a lot of big picks. You know, Olli Juolevev from, you know, Vancouver, 2016 first rounder. Miro Hirskinen, Dallas 2017 first rounder.
Yeah.
Then they got Eli Tolovin, who's a Nashville first rounder. But they don't have, like we said, they don't have many names. So, you know, I don't really expect much from Finland this year.
And they got to get out of Group A with the United States and Canada. So.
Exactly. So that's almost a death wish.
Yeah, that might be shit street for them, man. Well, this fucking thing kicks off on December 26th, man. The gold medal game on January 5th. Grinnelli, I can't thank you enough for coming on and fucking breaking this down with me. I apologize about the technical difficulties, but you killed it, man. I really do appreciate it. Just tell the Biscuit Babies where to find you, my man.
You can find me on Twitter. And again, man, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at @MikeGrinnell_ and also at Spittin' Chicklets. You can also, you know, read my work that's posted to barstoolsports.com. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm very excited to watch this tournament. We have the prelim starting on Wednesday. USA is playing Belarus. They play Sweden on Friday for a prelim. I'm so excited. It's almost sad.
Fuck but yeah,
again,
man.
Thanks for having me. Man, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'd love to get you back on come Frozen Four time, dude, and get your takes on those teams. There's really only one way to go if you need fucking college hockey news, and that's Mike Grinnell, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I'd love to come back on soon.
Hey, and I wanted to say that episode a couple weeks ago when Bizinette was on again, that was literally not just top five, like, hockey podcasts. That was one of the top, and I listened to a lot of podcasts. That was one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. So I wanted to say, you know, that was amazing.
Yeah, thank you, man. Biz is a beauty.
He kills it. He fucking kills it on there.
He's so funny, man. That guy is a superstar. And, you know, I'm so lucky that I'm able to do what I am. And I'm so lucky that I'm able to work with Barstool and Spittin' Chicklets and have the opportunity to meet guys like Biz and Ryan and Rear Admiral and, you know, have the opportunity to work with guys that know so much about the game but can get it out there in such an entertaining fashion. And it's, you know, it's changed my life, and I can't thank those guys enough for it.
Oh, yeah, and thank God for Barstool, because ESPN's a fucking – it's, you can't watch it anymore. So there's only – Barstool's saving the world as far as sports go. Because there's no reason to be, you know, as like ESPN's running their shit. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, grown adult people can listen to grown adult shit, and Barstool's carrying the flag for that.
Yeah, it's just nice that, you know, you can get a real point of view. You know, you're getting exactly what I feel, what I think, what, you know, anyone at Barstool feels or think. They're not, there's no agendas, there's no, you know, money doesn't tie into it. You know, we're not going to only talk about the NFL because, you know, we have the NFL's rights, we have the NFL's TV rights, so we're not, it's very real. It's a very real bit company, Barstool, and, you know, again, I'm so lucky to be a part of it.
Hey, and condolences on your cell phone, man, with all those rad contacts on there. That was a bummer.
It's funny, though. I actually found a way to get them all back.
Oh, good, man. I was like, oh, dude, that would fucking suck. Because I get to, I mean, I've talked to, like, Scott Parker, you know, Stanley Cup champion. I just, like, I'll have a couple beers on me, and I'll tell my friends, like, hey, you know, I talked to Stanley Cup champion once, man. So I know what it's like, dude.
That's the coolest part about producing this podcast is, you know, I'll be sitting here hanging out, you know, having a couple beers with my roommates, and I'll look down, and it will be a text from Jack Eichel confirming our, you know, it'll say, Jack Eichel has texted you, you know. One new text message from Jack Eichel, and I'll read it, and it's him just, you know, confirming the podcast for tomorrow, like, the next day, and you just sit back and you're like, holy shit, this is like the best player, one of the best hockey players in the entire world right now.
Yeah, dude.
Just text me.
It's fucking wild, man. It's hey, thanks again for your time, dude. I appreciate it. And you absolutely killed it, man. And we look forward to work with you again, my man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me on.
Yep, you have a good day.
All right, bro. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. That was Mike Rennell from Barstool Sports, Spittin' Chicklets, producer of that show. I do apologize for the technical difficulties I was having. It is important to me to deliver the best product to you guys. I don't know what was happening. I'll try to figure it out. I hope that it doesn't bother you too much. But I really think the information that was given in the show is great, and I do thank Grinnell a lot for coming on. I appreciate it. And I'd appreciate it if you fucking morons would go to goddamn Lucid Float Spas in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Right now, they're running a holiday special. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever the Flat Earthers celebrate. Three fucking floats for $90. I can't even do the math on what that discount is, but it's huge. So please go there. Tell the biscuit sent you. Maybe he'll toss in a hand job. I don't know. But make sure you go rate and review us on iTunes. With how many fucking listeners we have, I should have more than goddamn 10 fucking reviews and 5 stars. But thank you for the 10 people that have done it and give me the 5 stars. Tell the other fucking 5,000 or whatever fucking there are of you to do it. It helps me out. I'll buy a fucking better cord so you don't hear the boop boop. I love you guys. I appreciate it. iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We are now on officially the TuneIn app. We're on Instagram, Facebook, all that good shit. If there's anywhere else you guys know that people are getting podcasts and they want to listen to the show, let me know. I'll get that shit up on there. Buzzsprout.com's number one hockey podcast. The Biscuit. Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit!